Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 80 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Todd, joined always as with Leonard. How you doing today, Leonard?
I'm doing good. How about yourself there, Todd?
I'm doing great. Doing great. How was your big weekend?
It was hectic. Very confused having a day off from the super secret science job on Monday, and then working an extra long day on Tuesday. And then now here we are on Wednesday. It feels like Tuesday, but it really is Wednesday. I won't be right with the world until I have my books in my hands for this week.
That's when you firmly know what day it is.
Exactly. That's my anchor for the week.
Your anchor day. That's pretty cool.
So how about yourself? How was your weekend?
Pretty good. Had a fun Memorial weekend. Went to the big the St. Ubaldo races up in Jessup.
I didn't know it was a race. You said it was some St. Ubaldo day. I didn't know there was a race involved.
Yep. It has to do with St. Ubaldo in Gubbio, Italy. The barbarian Barbarossa showed up at the gates. And, you know, they were like, oh, every place he's ever came, he sacked. We're doomed. So they sent, like, this frail old, I think he was, like, in his 80s, bishop out. And he went to talk to Barbarossa. And he came back and he talked him out of sacking the city. But nobody believed that he had done it. They all thought he was dead. And since this was before Facebook and Twitter,
right?
They put him up on a pedestal or something, and they ran him around the city to prove that he was still alive and everybody was safe. So somehow this turned into people carry these big, like, imagine an H, like laying flat, and then on top of it they have these big statues. So they hold them on their shoulders, like a bunch of people, and they run through the streets of Jessup with it, with two other saints, which I don't know how they got involved, Antonio and George, and they run down through the streets of Oliphant, and people run in and run out, you know, in this garb, and it's really fun. They've been doing it for years in Jessup because most of the people that came there were Italian from the city of Gubbio.
It sounds like one of those Dynamite books you keep trying to push on me.
Yeah, it's like The Shadow or Green Hornet.
Or something, like, you know, like barbarians, sacking the city, oh, it's a whole bunch of silliness.
It's crazy. You'll have to go sometime. Your kid will love it.
But anyway. So, I have to ask you, though, what else happened this past weekend? How many episodes of Arrested Development did you get to watch?
I didn't get to watch any, but I heard about a lot of them.
Right.
Something the matter with Arrested Development on your end? Did you get to see any episodes?
I got a chance to watch three episodes since they came up on Sunday. However, the problem is so many people have gotten a chance to start watching them. They were up, I think, like 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. You could start watching them here on the East Coast. And people just freely just throwing information out there. Like, hey, I've already watched the first 5 episodes, and here's a detailed rundown of what I thought of all 5 episodes. And I was just like, I had to unfollow the official Arrested Development Twitter account. Because as of noon on Sunday, they were like, hey, we saw so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Who are your favorite cameos so far in the new season? And I'm just like, you're driving me out of my mind! Stop ruining the show!
It was bad. I had to get off Twitter. Facebook wasn't so bad because, like, a lot of I don't know why, because they just less people that watch the show on my Facebook feed. But Twitter, man, I was like, I'm out of here. So,
but that's the thing. Like, people were like, and that's why I jokingly said, I'm like, please, could you throw the hashtag in there so I know who you are and I could ban you for life?
Mm-hmm.
Because people were just throwing quotes up. And then I go and I watch the show, and I'm like, oh, that's what that means. That's what that dummy tweeted 9 hours ago.
Mm-hmm. I want to get around to watching them, but I got to find some time.
Yeah, I don't see myself having tons of time to watch them. I'm glad I got to watch the three that I did. I could see maybe squeezing one more in on Wednesday, one more in on Thursday, and then hopefully a bunch more on Friday. So we shall see.
Yeah. And then maybe no review, though, right?
No, not till you and I are both done, which should be at least another 2 or 3 months, and then we could really dive into it.
Gotcha. Good. So let's.
So what do we got to talk about in comics stuff this week?
We got in news. We have artists leaving and coming on new books.
What?
What? That never happens anymore. There's lots of stability in comics right now. We have, a possible new title that I'm very interested in.
Mm-hmm. Interesting is a good word.
Yes, it is. And we also have a digital book that seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, we talked about this last week, and we'll dive into it a little bit more as the show goes on. That's a really interesting one.
Yes, it is. It's actually pretty cool. We have what we read last week. I think we cross over on everything, and I know there was a lot of green in the titles on what we read.
Yes, there was. I know you had mentioned All-Star Western in there as well, but we're doing our best to talk about the books that we're most looking forward to, and then coming back the following week and talking about them, and I think we're going to continue that streak here for a while.
Yep, we also have what we're looking forward to this week, and I wonder if we're going to cross over again.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Yes, this one's 50-50 for me.
50-50? All right.
Yeah.
We have Sketch Party.
Yes.
And we also have the Twitter question, which is, what's the most overused trope in comics? There was some interesting ones on this, but I think a lot of people picked the same one.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised on what everyone chose on this one, but it'll bring up a lot of interesting conversation.
Yes, it will.
So where would you like to begin with the news?
How about creative changes?
All right. So I know everyone at home listening or on your portable listening device. I'm not going to name names, of course. I'm not going to give anyone a plug. That's not my way, but leave us a good review on iTunes, by the way. 5 stars. Doug Monkey, we had wondered after Green Lantern where he was going to go, and we did recently find out that he will be going to Justice League of America. Surprised that David Finch is not staying on that book for a long time. And Pete Woods is leaving Vibe after only 6 issues.
But on Pete Woods, he said he's only leaving because he has his dream project, right?
Yes, and I wonder what that dream project is. And again, you know, obviously the naysayers in regards to that one. When people pick up a new book, you know, everyone's like, but just picking up a new book. But when someone leaves a book and they say, there's no ill will, and I'm working on something that I dreamed of, everyone's like, where there's smoke, there's fire, there's something bad going on. And, you know, when it comes to DC these days, sometimes it is. But I like Pete Woods' art. I'm digging the Vibe book. And maybe he sees some of the writing on the wall. It's not setting the world on fire with its sails. So maybe he's like, let me jump off this ship before it goes down. But I'm still with Vibe. I really dig it.
I've been enjoying Vibe. And like you said, you know, DC's had their problems, so people can speculate. And I have no problem with that because there's been a lot of trouble there. But maybe it is his dream project. We'll see where he shows up next. And then I'll judge by what book he's doing. And we'll see. So
there you go.
But I do like Monk coming on to Justice League of America. I love his stuff, you know. So wherever he goes, he's going to get a chance from me most likely.
Yeah, I'm going through another collection, and I forget that he had that long run on Batman for a while back in like the mid-2000s. Mm-hmm. And then I look at who the writer of it was, and I'm like, oh, that's why I didn't know that run existed.
Who's the writer?
Judd Winnick.
Oh, it was I honestly did. I forgot that they worked together on that.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. So another thing you had mentioned there was a book that is coming back soon. You know, some of the DC numbers, they're sticking to that 52 books in print. And I think August is the first time that they're not doing 52. So I'm sure they have something up their sleeve for September. We've speculated about it here that they always do something for the anniversary. But there's talk of a Booster Gold book coming back to the new 52.
Which I think it's because he's getting the push in All-Star Western.
I think it's because he's getting the push in All-Star Western, too.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, though. I'm not excited for this book.
Really?
Yes.
I kind of am, but why aren't you excited for this book?
The reason is, Todd, I want you to imagine, I want you to close your eyes, and it's a Booster Gold book.
Okay.
And I want you to imagine your dream creative team on that book.
Okay.
You have that dream creative team pictured?
Yeah, it's in my head.
All right. Now, how many issues of that book do you think that creative team will actually get before some sort of crazy snafu happens and the carpet gets pulled out from underneath them?
Okay, since we're in my fantasy world, a lot.
Okay. But you know what I'm saying. You know, I can't get excited because I love Booster. But whoever they announce as the creative team, DC has taught us that whoever the creative team is not the creative team.
It's the right now team.
Right, it's the right now team.
But I totally know what you mean. But you know what? It's one of my favorite characters, and we've had a few runs where people have gotten their chance to do their thing without creative shakeups. I'm hoping this will be another, if they come out with it, this will be another All-Star Western, or this will be another Demon Knights, which for the most part, you know, it had two creative teams on it after like almost, 16 issues. So I'm fine with being on that long. So I'm hoping that, you know, being a mid-tiered character, that maybe they'll leave him alone. I don't know.
Let me pull up the list of mid-tier characters.
Ugh.
Where creative differences, one person gets solicited, and then another team comes on.
Oh, my God. Can't you let me have my hope for Booster Gold?
Well, that's the thing is, it's terrible to say, but DC has beaten the hope out of one of its most loyal, one of its most loyal subjects, if you will.
See, like, I know what you're saying. If this had been any other character, I'd be in your boat, but I just want this to work so bad that it'll take a few issues, and then creators will all jump ship, and Scott Lobdell will be writing it, and then I'll be, like, crying in my beer. But for right now, I have my fantasy world going, so.
Who was that fantasy team that you imagined?
I don't want to say because I'll sound repetitive.
Oh, no, you don't want to jinx it, maybe?
Yeah, I don't want to jinx it. Because if I'm right, they'll be like, oh, that leaked. We got to change it.
Now we really got to pull them off the book.
Yeah.
And it'll be your fault.
Yeah, I'd hate to have that happen.
Oh,
Booster
boy.
Was destroyed because of me.
You know, I'll say this. I'd be super cool with, like, Pamiotti and Gray taking it over.
You know what? That's interesting you say that. We'll talk about that when we get to All-Star Western today.
All right. No problem. So just continuing on, what else did you want to mention in the news?
How about the Batman thing?
Oh, the Batman thing breaks my heart. I was so excited for the Batman live show.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like a run in the West Coast and kind of like a little bit further, like in the southwestern states.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it started dipping into your Arizonas and Texas, I guess they had canceled some shows.
Well, how many seats can you fill with cactus? Come on.
Oh, come on. There's more than just that in cactus. Don't be so close-minded, Todd.
Okay. There's a lot of desert between cities, so maybe, you know.
So, I guess it's losing money hand over fist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, like I said, it's just heartbreaking. It really is. And, because I was hoping that it would be like this huge smash sensation that I could take the baby to.
No, I know what you mean, because it'd be really cool if it was something that, like, you know, was really successful and you could take, you know, and you could tour it around the country and then,
yeah.
You know what, all right, the Batman one was a success, let's try a Justice League one. Or
right.
You know, just do different, like, you know, it depends on how many years you could get it to each, you know, run of a show to be profitable. And then, you know, oh, it's this year, kind of like a Disney on Ice or whatever, you know, all the different things that they've done like that. And it is, you know, all the joking that we do. It's kind of sad because I think it is a really cool thing that I vaguely remember, like I've talked about it on here as a kid, they had shows like that to a lesser extent.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw them like a Looney Tunes teams up with, you know, the Warner Brothers heroes. And I saw that. That was, my brother reminded me that we went to that. And I was like, oh, so it would be kind of cool if they had something like that for kids today.
And I'll also say this as well. There was also the talk that Marvel was doing theirs as well.
Which I think this might put the kibosh on that.
I certainly would think so. That the failure of this is probably going to put the screws to whatever they had planned.
Mm-hmm. Which
and
is
that kills me. It kills me.
Because I was going. I was using the excuse of going with you to go see the show.
As research.
Yeah, as for the show.
Right.
You know, tax write-off. Big tax write-off.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, it's just heartbreaking to see that happen. I wish the, you know, it kind of puts hurting on it coming anywhere near here, and I hope that Marvel sees the mistakes. And that's the one thing I'll give you. Marvel, from time to time, at least lately, sees the mistakes that other companies, DC or otherwise, are making, and they kind of right the ship. You know, like DC or Marvel right now is doing really good in their books, I think. When it comes to recommendations of stuff, I end up seeing myself recommend more Marvel stuff than DC stuff these days. Their movies are great. You know, we have about 3 weeks before we find out what the verdict is on Man of Steel. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping Man of Steel turns the ship around. I really do.
Me too. Me too. And I hope, you know, because like we always said, more good comic stuff out there brings more, you know, hopefully brings more people to regular comics. And I want everything to do good.
Oh, absolutely. I'm exactly with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we had a couple more things just to mention in the news briefly. Mm-hmm. I could start closing my windows now as I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, because you don't want to get breeze on your neck.
Right.
Right. You know me, Mr. Technology.
Yes.
But.
So there was the digital book that is sweeping the charts, and that mm-hmm. is the Injustice Gods Among Us tie-in to the video game.
Mm-hmm.
It started out as a prequel, and it is currently up to kind of going alongside with the video game. And Amazon actually had it on sale yesterday.
Okay.
For like $35 or something, which is a steal for a game that's not even like a month old.
No, it's not. That's a pretty good price.
Mm-hmm. And luckily no one in my family listens to this, because someone who has a birthday coming up in July might be getting it for their birthday.
Oh.
Because I was putting the, like, it just so happened, I'm like, did you get it yet? Because I know my brother's a big fighting game fan,
mm-hmm.
and this would be right up his alley. And he's like, yeah, I usually wait till they get on the used rack to buy them for $30, and I'm like, this is $35 new, and I'm like, I'll pick that up for his birthday, and he'll be none the wiser, because he's the one whose internet is Post-it notes.
Ah. That's that up-to-date technology for him.
So where I'm going with this is that the digital book currently is taking up the top 20 single-issue slots on the Kindle Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And unless I'm mistaken, I think it's a good chunk of the Comixology digital sales as well.
Right. Which is really cool. I mean, that's, it must be popular to do that, because, you know, they have different number ones and stuff like that. It just shows that, like, a video game tie-in and some of this other stuff can be really powerful.
Right, and I think we mentioned last week, a friend of mine was telling me that they weren't as, usually when they do these digital first books and then they do the print edition a little bit later, DC has that kind of streamlined these days, which is very shocking, to me at least. And they were not expecting this to be as successful as it was, and when people see the video game, see that there's a comic book tie-in, they go to their comic book store. And when it doesn't exist in their comic book store, then they just go and buy the digital version. So, you know, it just is unfortunate that DC didn't do a bigger print run on it. Maybe they'll do, like, second and third prints on it and stuff. But we shall see if it's as big as a deal as it looks to be.
Yeah, well, you said caught him off guard. Because I know they did one from the Arkham games, and they weren't as big as this.
Right, and that's very odd, because the Arkham game is like a phenomenon. You know, like there's an action figure line, there's all this other crazy stuff, and the comics didn't connect on that one, but for some reason the comics connected on this one.
I don't know, the little that I've read, it's been really good. Because every once in a while I'll get an issue here or there, like, and just flip through it, and I've read it, and it makes me want to go back and read them. It's really good. So hopefully, you know, that's part of the reason too, you know, word of mouth, and it's good. So,
well, you're biased just because you're going to be in an upcoming issue.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe that's what people heard and it got the weekly long box slash Todd bump, and that'll get you over. That'll get you big. So,
right. But. So, the one last thing that I wanted to mention with the news is this weekend, we've been kind of slacking a little bit, only because I haven't been, there haven't been nearby cons. All the cons have either been overseas or out on the West Coast. You know, I think Phoenix Con was this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But this weekend is Wizard World Philly at the Philadelphia Convention Center. 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh boy, it's a biggie.
That's a long con.
So I know you said that you are not going this year.
No, there was a couple people who were going to go, and then they were like, we can't make it, so I'm not driving out alone.
You're saving your nickels and pennies for New York Comic Con.
Yeah, possibly Baltimore.
Possibly Baltimore. The Baltimore one has me very jealous.
Why? Is there somebody there you want to meet?
No, I like Baltimore was a good time, and the baby's not big enough to be taken to something like that. Soon, though. Soon he will be.
We'll leave him home and have the wife watch him, and we'll go.
Oh, boy. I do that enough. Let's not push that one, huh?
Okay.
Well, I will be in town for New York, or for Philly Comic Con. I'll be right down the street for Chikara's big eye pay-per-view. We only do two a year. We usually do them one like late May, early June. We do the other one late November, early December. This is our first one of 2013. That's also coinciding with our 12-year anniversary of events. They're doing a free pre-show Saturday night, a free pre-show with an exclusive match Sunday afternoon. If you're in Philly, if you're going to Philly Comic-Con, do yourself a favor. Go to the Chikara eye pay-per-view at the Trocadero right down the street. It's on the same block, practically, as the convention center.
And I love the Trocadero, so
yes,
that makes me sad. I've saw a few concerts there, and it's a great place to see a show or anything like that.
Yes, so I'm very excited because I get to talk a lot. Like, I don't get to talk a lot during the rest of the week.
No, you're super silent all during the week.
Yes. Oh, and I just see here, now, again, I want to apologize to everyone about the Wizard World Comic Con. I'm looking at the cancellations, and I see that not only did Steve Guttenberg cancel, but so did Joey Lawrence. So I don't know if you can get money back on those.
Who was the second one?
Joey Lawrence.
Whoa. Yeah. That's big.
That is a big one.
And I'm mad because I was going to go to that and get my Bible signed by Guttenberg.
Your Bible?
My Guttenberg Bible.
Your Guttenberg Bible. Why is that being lost on me?
Because
why that dumb?
Because it's a, you know, a rare, an early form of like a printing of the Bible, and they're really rare and worth like millions and millions of dollars. It's a Guttenberg printing. Ah, never mind. Forget it. Let's move on. Move on.
Did you CGC it?
Yes, I, no, I PCX'd it, I think it's what it's called, that, the CGC knockoff one.
Oh, there's a CGC knockoff?
Yes, there is. I'll have to look it up, but yes, there is a CGC knockoff.
That's awesome.
So, that's the only way I go now.
So, speaking of something that you can't CGC.
Mm-hmm.
Nice segue there. Digital comics, everyone. Digital comics. I love digital comics. Because they're easy to transport, they're easy to keep track of, and other than me breaking Comixology this past week.
You broke Comixology?
I broke Comixology. Did I tell you about this?
No, you didn't.
Okay. So, a friend of mine, Chris Sims, is a writer, blogger, podcaster, comic book man about town, Batman. He was on The Daily Show as a Batman expert.
Wow.
Excuse us. So he had a book come out digitally last week through Monkey Brain, Subatomic Party Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I'm not saying that wrong because I've been looking at it all week. So he's a friend of mine, so I pre-ordered the book for myself. And as part of my buddy Brian's blog and the podcast that I do with him, I write a little article about like what's coming out weekly in the comics. He's like, hey, here's like three books that are coming out you should check out. I decided to do a little giveaway to give away a free copy of that because Chris had given me a couple things to pass along to some folks. So because of me pre-ordering the book, Comixology was unable to allow me to register the gift codes to issue to other people.
Okay.
So I contacted Comixology about the problem. They came back to me and they're like, wow, because of this, we've stumbled upon a bigger problem that we can't figure out.
Ooh.
So they suggested to me to start a new account, have him resend the gift codes to the new account, and they should work fine from there.
Okay.
So, I broke Comixology because I pre-ordered a book.
You're like Skynet.
I'm like something. I don't know what I'm like.
Mm-hmm.
So, there is some good stuff available. There's always freebies available on Comixology, and this week is no different. The freebies that are there is X-Men Schism, number one, written by Jason Aaron. I love me some Jason Aaron.
Yes, you do.
Generation Hope by Kieran Gillen, who's doing a real good job these days on Young Avengers. I'm really digging that book. And the original 1960s Fantastic Four is available for free as well.
Cool.
And also Dynamite, I mentioned Dynamite before, they are having a huge sale on a ton of stuff. They have American Flag up for sale. They have Garth Ennis's Battlefields up for sale. They have Garth Ennis's Jennifer Blood for sale. They have the Kirby Genesis Captain Victory stuff, all the Kirby Genesis stuff, all the Howard Chaykin stuff, the first two collections of the Shadow, Zorro stuff, Spider stuff. Tons and tons of stuff is available, all at half price up until, I think, Friday. So be sure to check all that out as well.
Yes. And actually, it's PGX grading.
Oh, PGX grading?
Do you want to know what it stands for?
Oh, boy. No.
Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. It's professional grading. Right. You know what the X stands for?
Extreme?
Experts. They have a small E, then a big X, perts. So it's PGX.
That's just one more thing I have to minus in all my eBay searches.
That's one of those things that I have to flush from my mind, too, after the show.
But why do things exist?
I don't know.
So, hey, I also want to mention, since we covered digital comics and you need money to get digital comics, did you know that you can get digital comics through, like, iTunes and all sorts of other methods as well?
I had heard things like that.
And you can get people, like, iTunes gift cards and stuff, and they can use them to buy comics through iTunes. But the best thing to get for people, especially if it's their birthday coming up, is a cake.
Everybody wants a birthday cake.
There are people out there who are have a rallying cry, decrying cake, and saying that cake, whether it be at birthdays or at weddings or any sort of celebrations, should be replaced with pie. And to you people, I say, fools!
They have a special place in Gitmo for those people.
And then I do a turning point at you and say, shame.
Gotcha.
Shame is the way I do it. So you should get yourself, anyone that you know who has a birthday coming up, especially in the month of May or the first week in June or whatever their birthday is, a cake through our good sponsor at bakemeawish.com. They have tons and tons of great cakes, all that can ship within 2 days from the United States, of course. And they have, in addition to cakes, they have cookies, they have brownies, they have cakes of all sorts of sizes, quantities, flavors, anything that you want. And as I've said on the show before, they have not only chocolate peanut butter cakes, but they also have others.
So that's how you define cakes, the cakes you like and others?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Because I only eat one type. Well, I fib. Listen, sometimes I say things on the show that aren't true. And I make the joke that I only eat chocolate peanut butter cake. Okay. I'll pretty much eat any kind of cake, as long as it's not a fruit-based cake.
Ah. See, I think I'm actually 40% cake. So, I like cake.
Oh, boy. So, yes. So, if you are like Todd, or if you are like me and you like cake, or you know someone who likes cake, or as I want to say, if you just want like a walking-around cake, you know, it's summertime. You know, some people go get an ice cream cone, maybe like a walking around slice of pizza. You be the guy or gal with a walking around cake.
I totally agree.
Be the envy of your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Hey, they're like, that's that cake guy. Everybody will know who you are.
That cake guy, right. Yep. So, where would you like to begin with our books this week?
Would you like to start with the ending of a run?
Oh, boy. Yes, let's start with the ending of a run. Green Lantern number 20. The end of a 9-year epic by Geoff Johns.
A space opera.
A space opera indeed. So, it was art mostly by Doug Monke, who we had mentioned before. But this is a huge issue with so much going on.
There's a lot going on.
I ask you, Todd, were you reading the other Green Lantern books along with this as well?
No.
Okay.
Were you?
No, I was not. I, unfortunately, had given up on some of these books quite some time ago.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I went into this a little confused.
Okay.
But then I didn't care. I'll be totally honest. I was kind of, like, going in, and people were showing up, and they were like, oh, we were on Maltus doing this, and I was over here, you know, nudging that. And I was like, okay, I don't And then at some point, I'm like, all right, you know, Sinestro, Hal Jordan, craziness, this is okay with me. And I really think as big as the book was, it really came down to what it was about, like the relationship between Hal and Sinestro at the end. And that was good enough for me. I really thought that this did what it was supposed to do for the most part.
And that's because I don't want to be too spoilery about it. And I think if you, this was probably not anyone's first Green Lantern book, but hey, who knows? Maybe it was.
Mm-hmm.
So the solicits for this said that this was going to be, what was the word? Find out the final fate of Sinestro.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried what that was going to mean.
I know you're a big Sinestro fan.
I am a big Sinestro fan. And I was worried that they were going to bump him off.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say that they did. I don't want to say that they didn't. But what I will say is, I do like what they did. I liked all the Sinestro stuff in this.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me very happy to see Sinestro get as much face time in the book, kind of as equal as Hal in mm-hmm. this book. And it, even though it does look like Sinestro may not be around in the new run, and that may be what keeps me from sticking with it, but I am going to give the new writer a chance when the book comes out in a couple weeks here.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try it too. I really like this book. There was a couple of things that I'm gonna try not to get into too much that I didn't like, but that were really cool. One of them was kind of like almost definitive endings for certain characters, which I think kind of pigeonholes them for future stories, if you know what I mean.
I guess.
Right, because I'm not really sure how all that works out. I mean, that could be far-flung future. I just think it was interesting that Jeff was like, I'm going to be like, here is some endings for some characters. And I was like, okay. Like you said, you're not sure.
Oh, yes. When the young recruit was asking the person who had the book.
Right. And you're
Yes. It was definitely like putting a bow on some characters' stories.
Right. And I'm wondering if that's going to hogtie future writers. Like, you're like, well, you can only do so much and you can only use this character this way. Or I'm hoping not. But it was kind of weird to see that in any book, to go like, here's, you know, future versions, like where things went. And I'm like, okay. And I finally did get the one thing that I've been asking for a long time.
Okay, can you reveal it here on the air?
What?
Can you reveal it here on the air?
I think so, because people have been speculating. It was the lantern, the orange lantern oath.
Oh, yes.
All right. I was disappointed in it.
Ah.
I think he built it up for too long, like when he said it's the best oath ever, and I feel like he flung it together at the last minute.
that was definitely one that was written on a cocktail napkin.
Yes, at some
like
con.
5 minutes before they went to print.
I feel it was done at a con while he was drinking with a bunch of friends, and he's like, let's see what they think of this. But he did do something. He reintroduced a character that made this book my favorite book for a long time, if you know the one that I'm talking about.
Even though that character only had, like, two panels?
Two panels. I thought he was dead for the longest time, so I'll take it.
Oh, boy. Now, I will say this, and again, yeah, I don't want to be too spoilery with that one. I would be all for that character showing up in Lar Flees' book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely, especially with the creative team.
As, like, the ying to his yang, if that doesn't give it away.
That would be a great the world's fine less.
Oh, boy. So I was kind of excited. That one actually got spoiled for me by someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people are jerks.
See, I didn't know, and I read it, and I did the whole, like, South Park mother thing, like, what? It was like, this is awesome. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with this. Like I said, it wasn't grounded too much in the past books, and it was just a big shoot 'em up, and, you know, just really fun. So I'll give props to Jeff Johns on his step out on, you know, Green Lantern 20.
Yeah, there was a lot of really cool splash pages and double page spreads and even a quadruple page spread that were all very beautiful. There were a couple Sinestro ones that I would love to buy, but I don't have that kind of petty cash laying around these days.
Yeah, and I don't even know where Doug Monk sells his art. Because I thought about the one page that I was talking about where a character returns. I was like, I'll buy that for two panels. Put that in my bad boy collection. Yes, sir. But I don't know, you know, who his rep is or what site he's on. I'll have to look around and get back to you.
You get back to me with some prices.
Yeah, I will.
So the other green book that we were both looking forward to from last week was The Green Team, Teen Trillionaires by Baltazar and Franco, with art by Ig Guara, which is a bit of a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess the pitch for this would be, you know, it's based on like a one-issue thing from the late 60s, early 70s that never really went anywhere in DC.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, from talking to Baltazar and Franco at the great Reading Con that we were at, they took some of the character names and that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of did their own thing with it. And it's a bunch of kids with a bunch of money who really don't know what to do with themselves, or do they?
Mm-hmm.
And they look to be funding a bunch of useless things, or are they? What did you think of this book?
This book fell really flat for me.
Really?
Yes. Aww. Well, here's the thing. And I knew I was going to disappoint you with this, but mm-hmm. I feel like I've read not as much Baltazar and Franco as you have. And I think their strengths are in the wackiness that they can do with their, like, especially their Tiny Titans and their Superman Family Adventures, I think it was called. And I feel they tried to be New 52, but also try to bring their thing into it. And in the end, to me, none of it really worked. And I just, in the end, didn't care or get involved or get invested in the book. And it is the worst possible storm of feelings, because it's not that I hated it, but it's not that, you know, that I was like, oh, I kind of liked it. I just didn't feel anything. So I don't know if I'm going to be getting issue two.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. But
yeah.
I completely understand. Because of my love for them, I'm willing to give this a little bit more of a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I did feel that this was a little heavy of an issue.
Yeah.
Only in the fact that it felt like it really needed to give you so much with these characters so quickly.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And I feel that they could have spaced things out a little bit much before they got into the action. I'm interested to see what happens with these characters and once they start intermingling with the rest of the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for, but again, it's Baltazar and Franco, so I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt in that respect. And it's not like this was a horrible book. This was by far not the worst book that I read this week. Mm-hmm. That was another book that I'm not going to mention because we stay positive on the show. Yay.
Right.
And this was a good start for a book, but I feel that they did too much in this first issue to get you acclimated to these characters. I think they could have, you know, in today's day and age, they could have even did thing where, like, you have your one character who is kind of, you know, I guess I'm trying to think what his name was, it was the lead character, Mo. Like, he was the one coming into this not knowing the rest of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been the one that was a little bit of a mystery. He gets to know each one of the characters throughout one issue while you get bits and pieces of the other characters. And then by the time issue four comes around, you know all four characters.
Right. It feels like you just got a crash course.
Right. I think I remember Franco saying that, too, that the first issue is going to feel a little jam-packed.
Mm-hmm.
And because he himself said it, I'm willing to give it a little bit more time. And I'm willing to stick with it because I like those guys a lot. And you should check this book out, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, we'll see on issue two. But it was one of those, I don't know. I don't know how to explain what I want to say. But in the end, I couldn't, there was no character that I could identify with that really stood out to me as one that I want to go with. So I don't know. We'll have to see on this one.
Yes, I know very few trillionaires, so I really can't associate with anyone in this book, to be honest with you.
I only know one, and that's it. So,
right, I know mostly quintillionaires and higher.
Right, right.
Right, I don't associate with the rabble of a trillionaire.
Oh, that's they're people who live in an alley behind an alley. You don't want to mess with those.
Pa Flimshaw, I turn up my nose at thee.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you like to talk about next, sir?
Do you want to do All-Star Western?
Yes, let's talk about All-Star Western. We both read All-Star Western by the usual team of Justin Gray and Jimmy Pamiotti, with art by Moritat. Now, when I had mentioned before that I would like to see them get a crack at Booster Gold, I don't want to say that you poo-pooed the idea, but you were just like, I don't think so.
Just before, during, in this show here?
Yes.
No, I said we'll talk about it when we get to the book.
All right, we're there.
I would like to see them as a creative team also. I had a lot of fun with this. Last issue, I kind of had a problem with it, but it wasn't because of that. It was because it was an All-Star Western book, and I feel like there was like 2 pages in the beginning with Jonah, 2 pages at the back, and then we were, here's the Booster Gold story. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's cool, but I buy this book for Jonah Hex. And I think that's kind of what it was. Now I've gotten acclimated to the idea, and I love it. And I thought this book was a lot of fun with Booster. I thought it was kind of like, you know, it was fun, a little wacky, but not too wacky. And it almost reminded me of him in the good JLI days, not the new 52 JLI.
Right.
So I was having a lot of fun with him where he was doing certain things. And at the end when they bring out the Gatling gun and he's like, oh, boy, and some stuff happens. I'm like, all right, that's really funny. And I really enjoyed it. So Graham Palmiotti, give them Booster Gold, and I would be fine with it. Throw Dan Juergens on to draw it, and let's go.
Yeah, let's go old school. Don't let Dan Juergens write it. I like Dan Juergens as an artist, not so much as a writer.
I'm with you.
But I'm going to be sad to see Booster leave this book,
mm-hmm.
because it's all about, I think one of the strengths of All-Star Western is Jonah as a character by himself, I could see getting old, and that's a horrible thing to say.
Okay.
But in what I have read of All-Star Western, it's all about his interactions with other characters that makes him that much more compelling to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his interactions with Jeremiah Arkham were great. His interactions with Booster are great when he's asking about how his suit works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that was hilarious stuff.
Yep.
And it wasn't, like, it was played for laughs, but because Jonah is such a deadly serious character, that's what made it that much more funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be sad to see Booster Gold go, because I am liking his interactions right now with Jonah, but I'm sure someone else will come in to take his place, and it'll continue, because it's all Jonah just having a deal with these people who are just not him. Like, Jonah is the type of person, you being more of a Jonah Hex person than I, he comes across to me as the type of person of, leave me alone.
Oh,
I don't want any friends. I don't want to be bothered by no one. And he is continually just put upon by every single person that he runs across.
He is a loner. He has people that he'll tolerate to get the job done. And then he's like, I want to go out and be in the West and hunt down bounty hunters and be left alone. Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, Graham Palmiotti did do 70 issues of Jonah on his own. That right. are really good as far as I'm concerned. But I see what you could say. Maybe you'd get bored with him on his own, but I love him on his own. I love him with people. I just love Jonah Hex as a character. But let me ask you a question, because Booster's having some trouble with his memory.
Yes.
In this. Where do you think this Booster's is, like, in everything that's going on?
Well, if I was to believe things correctly, because he blinks out of existence at the end of that Justice League International that came out a couple months back.
Right.
I'm thinking he's from there.
I don't know why I want to go, he is from right after New 52.
Okay.
And this is his first, like, even though he was in JLI and all that stuff and in our time, this is him, like, in the past, not remembering. It could be your thing, too, but it makes me cool. I want to see where all this goes. You know what I mean?
Right.
And see,
especially if the rumor of him getting his own series is true, is it going to be that Booster, or is it going to be this Booster, or is it going to be a different Booster altogether?
Exactly. Which right. one? So I'm looking forward to all that.
Yes. So All-Star Western is still a good book. We haven't been pushing it as hard as we should have been.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just been so much other good stuff that's been stealing its heat.
Right.
Right.
Not in my eyes, but in everybody else's. Christmas.
So the last book that I want to talk about, and I'm going to be very careful not to be spoilery about this.
Yes.
And that's Daredevil number 22.
Mm-hmm.
I know we talked last week the books that we were most looking forward to, but as I was putting the notes together for last week, I noticed that it said it was going to be revealed of who this person was.
Mm-hmm.
The person who's behind all the turmoil in Matt's life over the last several issues, even going all the way back to the beginning. And that made me jump this book to the top of the pile. And the way that Wade writes this book, first of all, after I read this issue, and I very rarely do this, I do my best not to read interviews with people, and I was having a conversation with someone about this at the wrestling this past weekend, how I don't like to spoil myself, and very rarely do I read, like, the entrance interview with someone or the exit interview with someone when they're leaving a book or coming on a book.
Mm-hmm.
The only person that I do that for is Grant Morrison, because sometimes, you know, you need Grant to kind of walk you through some stuff.
What? Shocker.
Sometimes.
I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah, I guess.
Listen, I'm a dumb guy, and sometimes I need a little help.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. With Grant. But go ahead.
So, after I read this issue of Daredevil, I saw that there was an interview with Mark Waid where he talks about what goes on in this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And after I read this issue, I thought to myself, I'm like, no, there's more. There's more. Mark Waid's pulling a fast one on us with this one. And then I read the interview with him, and he's like, nope, this is who it is, and here's how it all lines up, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you got me. You got me again. I almost swore. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you got me again. He gets me every time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool reveal. It's someone that you would never expect to be the person behind all this. And as good as all that is, this book is drawn in such a way. The panel layout, the word balloons, there's so much about this book that is so good. And it's some of it's in the preview pages. If you check out the preview pages that I put up, Todd, maybe you can come along with me on this. So Matt has been shown Fear by Ikari, who's wearing the similar outfit that he wore back in the day. The dude shows up for the interview, and Matt's on edge. He's all jumpy. He's everything else. And there's that one panel as the guy's leaving, right?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. The way that this book is laid out and paced and drawn and the panels are set up, it's almost as though it's giving you that same sense of dread that Matt is experiencing as well. And I think that just draws you in so much more to what's going on here.
I'll tell you, I haven't read a book that gave me such a feeling of tension.
Mm-hmm.
As this one did. And I literally was at the shop the other day, like, trying to get Dave to read this book. Davey had read it. And I'm like, never before has somebody with antacids been so cool. I'm like, how? And then, like, what happens? And I'm like, I don't know what to believe. Do you know what I mean? At any point. And I'm like, this is just so good. And like I said, I'm looking at, you know, who the villain is, and I'm not going to say anything, but I was like, oh, you know, sometimes you should think, you know what I mean? And I was just like, this is really good, and I want to find out more. The only thing is Mark Waid hints at a before issue one. There was some stuff that was going on that he's been around.
Oh, yeah, well, yes. But they touch on it just enough that you kind of, you know, it's enough to tell you where that character was and where they are now.
Right, because I don't want to say anything. And joking aside about, you know, I say Mark Waid created this character, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, okay, this happened to Matt. Okay, I didn't know that. You know what I mean? But it's enough to explain it to me that something is, you know, was in the past that I needed to know, and it helped me. So I was like, fine, okay, as long as you explained it to me, I'm good. And I mean, maybe it had a bigger effect for you, you know what I mean, reading longer.
Yes, it most certainly did. And okay. If you, and again, even if you are not a huge Daredevil fan like myself, or even if you're a new Daredevil fan like Todd is, you know enough about Daredevil that this, you know, sort of person coming up is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. But Gotcha.
Oh boy. So the thing that I'm actually a little disappointed by is that it seems as though this story is kind of going to wrap up with the next issue, and it's going to go on to a new story.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yes. So I'm interested to see how things are going to get wrapped up.
I wonder if they'll get wrapped up, or it'll be more of like to be continued, but down the line. I'm cool with whatever he does. I think Mark Waid has a solid handle on this character.
I agree. And I hope he stays on this book for a while. And then I see that in the future, he's going to have, there's going to be a Hulk crossover as well. So I'm happy about that too.
Yes.
So yeah, Daredevil's an awesome book. Hopefully everyone is reading it. That's a book that we push so, so much.
Yes, it is. But
so I think that covers everything that we read from this past week, correct?
Yes.
So, Todd, I will ask you, what is the book that you are looking forward to coming out this week?
I'm going to go with Scott Snyder's The Wake.
Okay.
Just interested to see, you know, a different, something new from him, because I've only ever really read Severed and Batman, and I've enjoyed them. So a new product from him, I'll pick it up.
So the book I'm most looking forward to coming out this week is also The Wake by Scott Snyder, with art by Sean Murphy. While this is a fifth week month, there's a ton of really good stuff coming out this week. The collection of the Adventures of Superman digital stuff is coming out. The new Brian Wood X-Men book with all the ladies of the X-Men in it. But when it comes to Scott Snyder writing anything, he is in that Jason Aaron category for me, where it's your name is on a book, I'm buying it. Don't even tell me the premise, because it's not going to matter, because I'll find out about it when I read it.
Yep. I'm with you. I'll give him, you know, benefit of the doubt for a long time.
Yes. You know, we'll include the information in the show notes. You know, Underwater, Secrets, Oil Rig, blah, blah, blah. Hey, it's Scott Snyder. It's going to look beautiful because Sean Murphy's art is awesome. So check this one out.
Is that what it's kind of about? I thought it was about a funeral, but
no.
What do I know?
Ha, 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 ha.
Okay.
Oh,
I actually have no idea what The Wake is about. I didn't look.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I know I'm trying to make a bad joke, which I usually am really successful at. But when it came out, I was like, oh, I'm doing this book, you know, for this called The Wake. Never looked into it. And when you literally said it's about underwater, I'm like, are you serious?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Then, you know, when I read it, now I know it's about being underwater or something.
Or something.
Yep.
See, that's too much information.
Yeah, you spoiled that book for me. Way to go, Arrested Development.
Oh, boy. So, The Wake, definitely check that one out, as well as everything else that's coming out this week. But that's the one that we'll definitely be talking about next week, unless it's hot garbage, which I doubt it will be based on the creative team.
I love the way you say hot garbage.
Yes. So, we getting into Sketch Party, of course. Rick Williams, Free Karate Chops on the Twitter machine, did send us another Wolverine sketch that he got from Herb Trimpe. Mr. Senior sent us one as well. And I'll be honest, I always, because he always writes the who the character is that he's drawing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes Twit Pics don't load on my phone because my phone is a piece of junk.
Right.
So I have to copy the URL and then enter it in or find him on Twitter when he put it up. And then when I saw who it was and I put it all together, I'm like, oh, I'm so stupid. I should have known that. It's Crumb from Real Monsters, the Nickelodeon show from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun-looking drawing that he did. He always does such really cool stuff.
Yep, he does. And that monster always kind of freaked me out because he has his eyeballs in his hands. I'm like, how does he use his hands?
That's my wife's favorite.
Oh, okay.
Anything with eyeballs, right up her alley.
Yep, that's the way to go.
So yours was a page, actually.
A cover.
A cover, yes. Even bigger than
yes.
a page. A cover. Kevin Maguire cover with Guy Gardner on it. Now, was that from an issue of Green Lantern, or was that from an issue of Justice League? Because I don't think the logo was on there.
It was from an issue of Green Lantern.
Okay.
And it was a takeoff of the classic, like, Star Wars Luke Skywalker pose with Leia, like, you know, wrapped around his leg on top of a pile of villains. There's not really, like, you know, like, I didn't get this off of Kevin. I got this off of eBay. But I got this for such a song and a dance back in the day when Kevin was between stuff. Like, he had been kind of forgotten. Like, because he hadn't been working in the industry much. And it was a cover for less than $300.
Wow.
Right, on eBay, because people had forgotten. And it wasn't a JLI anything. Like, you know, that still kind of went for some money. So, like, it was one of those that I couldn't pass up when I bid it up. Like, I was like, oh, I'll bid it up to this price, and if I get it, you know, so be it. But I can't go in much more because I don't have it. And then I won it, and I was like, this is a ridiculous price for a cover. Mm-hmm. And I'll take it, put it in my collection, and run with it. So,
and it's so odd that it doesn't have the cover in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has this side little thing with the Breakdowns crossover, but it doesn't have the cover, but then it has the Comics Code Authority thing there as well.
Right. It's kind of weird, like, the way they, I mean, they, you figure they would have put the Green Lantern in it, but I think that was the way they did it, because he did the sword. Mm-hmm. And, like, that he created with his ring and everything, that they had to, what do they call that when you take it and just paste it in later? I can't think of the term right now. They
superimpose?
Yeah, but there's a term for it when you're doing artwork. It's like stat panels. It's kind of like when you just stat something in. It's like, say, when you have a character and it's 8 panels of 2 characters talking. If their heads don't move, you just draw the panel once up in the corner and then stat it in for the 7. Because why draw it 7 times or 8 times? You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So that's what I think they did. I think they statted the Green Lantern logo over the top of it. But either way, it is the cover. So I don't know if you believe me.
No, I believe you. It's just I could tell it's a cover because it says cover card stock, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's really cool.
Yep. I'm glad I own it. Maybe you can get it someday when I'm on my deathbed. I'll leave it to you.
When you shuffle off this mortal coil?
Yeah, yeah.
There's going to be a bunch of stuff that I want dibs on from your collection.
All right, let me know.
All right.
Give me one in particular. One big one in particular. And we'll see.
Anything with Sinestro on it.
Ooh, I'll have to look. I don't have much. We'll see.
Right.
Okay.
So that covers Sketch Party. We do thank everyone for getting involved. We're still working on a new Twitter handle or a hashtag for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Josh, our good buddy Josh, suggested Sketch Saturday.
That sounds good.
But then that limits everyone of when they could do it, because sometimes people are like, I hope I'm not too late. I could put something up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll have to come up with something like Grizz Sketch or something like that.
We're working on it.
I know. I'm trying to put words together in my head so we have like a Gojo or something like that, a Jogo or whatever his name is, or like a Bradgelina.
Right, or like a go buy us some coffee.
Right, something like that. Java nice day, something like that.
Right. We'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
We're geniuses.
Oh, that's our strong points.
Right, so until we figure it out, you could still use the hashtag Sketch Party, and we'll find them all from there. You can also find us with that hashtag on Twitter, at Weekly Long Box. You can follow Todd on Twitter, at Roker the Joker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R, the Joker. And I am L.F. Chikarason. That's L-F-C. H-I-K-A-R-A-S-O-N. And, of course, be in touch with both of us. Frequently on Twitter. I hope Todd has more followers these days than the last time we checked. He should be in the millions at this point.
And millions. That's my fake Rock. I think I should have a table.
That's right. You should be a cosplayer of the Rock.
Yes.
Oh, boy. So you can also throw the hashtag at us for GrizzWLQ to be part of our weekly question. And our question from this past week is, what is the overused trope in comics that really gets your goat? I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but you really hate every time this comes up. And we had a good chunk of choices from our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
A couple people mentioned retconning. And I don't know, retconning, you know, I think retconning gets a bad rep because it's used as a crutch by people. Mm-hmm. I got no problems changing a story that stunk back in the day to fit your own needs now.
I'm kind of the same way. I think retconning, when done right, I think the problem is it's when it's done wrong.
Right, and I think it's done wrong more often than not. And yes, it gives the good ones a bad name.
Yep, because like Alan Moore's Swamp Thing is a retcon.
And that's true.
Pretty good. Pretty
Garth Ennis Punisher is a retcon.
Yes, it is.
Because he was an angel before that.
Yes, he was. That is one of them, though, that I'm going to go with bad, because I think the angel Punisher really had wings.
Oh, see, that's one of your jokes that worked.
Yep.
The one.
That's one. Put the chalk mark up, baby.
Spider-Man got some drubbing from our listeners. Michael Lee Carter, Urban Remnant on the Twitter, mentioned the "with great power comes great responsibility" as kind of a crutch for some Spider-Man stories. And Kevin Burza, Blood underscore Nut on Twitter, mentioned the Spider-Man quitting. Spider-Man no more. He's been Spider-Man no more so many times.
Mm-hmm. It should be, you know, like Spider-Man none more, and he throws the thing in the garbage can, and it's all good.
A bunch of people mentioned life model decoys. As, you know, it's like, oh, they're not dead, it was a life model decoy. That's more of a Nick Fury sort of thing, or anyone really associated with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
But listener Tom Gerke made the point to specifically say, that doesn't count for Doom bots. That's okay.
Doom gets a pass on everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with him. He's a smart man.
Yes. We had some other folks, Jeanette Frost Ramos and Kevin Hellions, both of those folks on Twitter, Hamster Gal and Team Hellions on Twitter. They mentioned, you know, generalization of, you know, over-sexualization of women, female heroes being in those ungodly, unnatural poses all the time. And I don't know if it's so much as a trope, but it's really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
There was a whole, the joke thing about it where, what was it, that Catwoman Zero cover from a couple months back, where she was in that weird pose?
Forgetting which one it was, but they made, it was what if, because I remember at one of them, it was one of those bad poses, and then it was what if Hawkeye did that pose.
Yes.
Do you remember that, is that the one?
Yes, and then there was a whole bunch of different artists who drew Hawkeye in all sorts of various states of undress and unnatural poses.
Mm-hmm.
But the far and away winner, and this was my choice as well, you know, Rob Christofferson, new listener, Peter Hilren, and we'll get to him later, Vance Gatlin, Quinn the Eskimo, all these folks talked about the biggest overused trope in comics is death. That and is I don't mean the young lady who stands by the side of Thanos, or I don't mean Morpheus's sister. I mean, you know, death.
Because it's permanent in comics now.
Yes, and there was a time where it meant something, and now these days, no one believes it. Like, they, and there's still, well, I don't want to say that no one believes it.
It doesn't, yeah, and all it does is bring it people into the comic shop thinking, that don't read comics, I mean, that they're going to invest in something, and this comic's going to be worth a lot, like, this Death of Superman years and years ago, which, you know, they still think is worth money. I mean, it's worth something, but I totally know what you mean. And it's, you know, oh, how long until he comes back? And then the stories are, you know, contrived to bring them back. There's only been like a few good ones lately, and now they're just more and more and more.
Right. Well, they've slowed down a little bit, but, you know, the speculate, you see it, that they talk at the Marvel summits and stuff that they're quota is to have like one big death a quarter or something.
Mm-hmm.
And to like put such a bow on it that it's like, yep, we have to have somebody die every 3 months. Like, that's just crazy.
Yeah, it totally is.
Oh boy. So again, thanks to everyone. What was yours, Todd?
Really quickly, I was gonna give you some of the runners up, but they don't exist anymore.
Okay. Well,
death was one of them, but not that one. One of them was Velocity 9 Junkies from back in the day.
I don't even know what that is.
In Flash, there was a drug that made people run fast, and it was supposed to kill you really fast, but they used them for like 40 issues in a row. They would just show up when they didn't know what to do. A Velocity 9 Junkie would show up. Number two was Wildcat Boxing Stories. It was like, oh, like Wildcat has to investigate a deadly boxing, you know, cartel off the coast of, you know, Puerto Rico. And I'd be like, what? Like, you know, we could do other things with boxing. But with the new 52, I think that's gone away until Wildcat comes back as an MMA fighter, when Scott Liddell's writing the book. That's going to happen. Mark my words on that one. Write it down at the timestamp and the show number. But
when he takes over Earth 2?
Yeah, Earth 2, and he makes Wildcat, instead of a boxing guy, because, you know, that's old in the past, it's going to be MMA. That's new and hip. But the one that really gets my goat, and it's what brought this question about, is I was reading Age of Ultron number 8, and they actually crashed 4 helicarriers at the same time. I am so tired of helicarriers crashing. It was cool the first time, but now it's like, I don't even know why they're still in service, because they're crashing more than they're in the air. And I just can't stand it. And one of the things was when I saw the Avengers movie and I saw the helicarrier and Iron Man had to save it, I was like, if they crash this helicarrier, I'm going crazy in the middle of this theater. And I give Joss Whedon like huge props that he didn't go, let's crash it. Now, they might crash it in 2 or 3, and I'm fine with that by then. But in comics, you see a helicarrier, it's only a matter of time. If they were cars, they'd be recalled. Crashing helicarriers. I'm sorry, I got a little worked up there.
Yeah, very angry, and I can understand. That's the Flash one is very specific, though. I don't think that's happened in quite some time.
No, it is, and the New 52 cleaned that up.
There you go. So that's one good thing from the New 52.
Yay! No more boxing Wildcat.
No, and the Flash one too.
Yeah, I'm just saying that one too.
Yes, it'll be Wildcat in the Guard. Is that a thing that happens in MMA?
I don't know. I think it's in the Octagon.
Oh, okay. Well, no, the Guard is like when they have you in like a front face lock or some silliness.
Oh, is that like a wrestling move? Is that a pipe bomb?
It is. It is a pipe bomb. When the guy has you in a front face pipe bomb.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
So, again, I do thank everyone for participating in our question from this past week. And I do have a question for this week, and this was actually suggested to us by a listener, which is good for me because it allows me to keep the couple that I have in my back pocket available to us. This is from, excuse me, as I'm just pulling up my notes here. I'm singing the song. Oh, I'll ask you about that. Listener Peter Hillerin, Peter000, and he had suggested this, and this is such a simple one, I'm surprised that we did not think of it, and I did comb through the archives, and I did not find that we did this one. He suggested that we do, what is our favorite cover of all time?
Ah.
And that's tough. That's a tough one.
I have a few contenders.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I have a couple, too. I think I might have to choose, I don't know. I'm going to have to do some digging.
Mm-hmm.
I could very easily go with, I want to use one that I haven't used before as, like, a favorite issue, favorite cover, favorite something. But I think I have an idea of which one I could use.
Okay, good. I think I've narrowed it down to 2.
Is it one of the ones that you put up today? Or is it the Green Lantern Kevin Maguire one that you put up for Sketch Party?
Yes, it is. Damn.
No. Oh. That's okay. We could leave that in there. You're all right.
Good.
So, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to close things out with?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Well, I do thank everyone for listening. This is Todd and Leonard closing out episode 80 of the Weekly Long Box, and we will catch you all here next week.